We begin the current daf Maseches Sanhedrin daf Lamed. Begin on the bottom line of Chavtes Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion of our Mishnah and of the previous daf, where we said that when we inspect the witnesses, they have to testify that what they know that this person owes the other person money is because the guy said, "You are my witnesses, and I admit in front of you that I owe that person money." That's what's known as Oedisa, regarding a valid admission. Then we also spoke about regarding documenting those admissions. So that the Gemara continues discussing those documentations of admission and says, "Hahi oidisa davakasabe," regarding this admission that was written in the document, the following terminology. It said, "Dukrin pizgami," that we recall these words. Now, it didn't say the way it usually says in the terminology, the vernacular of witnesses, which is the remembering, the recalling of the testimony, rather zikaron devarim, the recalling of the words, which is usually a terminology used by judges. And there's a continued type of lamed ben aleph, and so to b'chol ishanei de beidina. All the words of the documentation were written the way the courts usually write it, and however the problem was, is that they only had, however, two people signing. If it's a court, they wrote like they're a court, but they only signed two people. If it's a court, three people should be signed. If it's two people signed as witnesses, it should be witnesses. Now, but the problem is, v'loy havakasaba, it also didn't say on it that b'moysev t'losa havina, that we were originally three. I mean, the wording is showing like they're a court. But sometimes it could happen that there were three, but then one of them is not here anymore. And then they could still sign because they were a court, but then you only need two signatures. But then you have to write that they were three. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say b'maisa t'las avina that we were three, v'chad le'isoyeh, and one's not here anymore. The Gemara says in Ksubet of Chabezim and Aleph, when three people sit down to validate a document in the court and one of them dies, that's what you're supposed to write. So what's Allah in this situation? So Savar Avinu Lameimer, Avinu thought to say, Hainu de Rish Lakish. This is the same halacha we mentioned in the previous half of Rish Lakish. So he said that there is a presumption in the court that they only write a document according to the halacha. So although it doesn't say, but most definitely we have to say that there were three because all their wording is showing that they were court. So though there's only two signed, which would sound like they're not a court and they're only witnesses, however, it's obvious that they were a court. And although there's only two signed, it must have been there was three and that the just one is not here anymore. However, Amalei Rav Nosson Bar Ami says, no. This is what they say in the name of Rabba. Kol kehai gavna, such cases like the one you just described, chashina lebezden tayin, we are concerned for an erroneous court who they thought that two judges are able to validate a document and educate a court case. And therefore, they were writing like a court, but there really was only two. We cannot assume that there was three and just one passed away. Rather, it could be there was two, and therefore it's not going to be a valid documentation of admission. Now, however, Amr of Nachum B'Yitzchak, he says, Ikasa ba beidina. However, if it says that us, the court, then, and everybody knows that you don't call two people as a court, then you don't have to be concerned anymore. Then obviously that there were three and one passed away, they just forgot to write that line in the document. Now that the Gemara asks, but why? Maybe this is what's known as nodacious court. Meaning because the Amar Shmuel holds, Shnaim Shadanu Dinein Din. Although you're supposed to have three judges, but two judges that judge a court case, it is a valid court case after the fact. They're just called nodacious court. Now the halacha is not like Shmuel. But maybe this court thought like Shmuel, and therefore they called themselves a Bezdin. So maybe there really wasn't three, maybe there really was only two, but they called themselves a Bezdin. As Shmuel said, it's a Bezdin, it's just a Bezdin Chatzav, but we don't pass it like Shmuel. So why are we validating such a document and assuming that there was three? Maybe it really only was two. So it's like, no, the Kasabay, it also was written in the document, not just Beidina, that they were court, but Beidina de Rabbana Ashi. They're the court of Rav Ashi, which they for sure know that the halacha is not like Shmuel and that two individuals are not called a bezdin. And if they wrote that they were a bezdin and there was only two signed, must have been there was three and just one passed away. But the Gemara asks, why? How do you know that? V'dimur abundu bei Rav Ashi. Maybe the rabbis on the court in the yeshiva of Rav Ashi. K'shmuel sviru l'hu. Maybe they had like Shmuel. And therefore maybe they wrote two. Maybe there was really only two, but they wrote that they're a bezdin. Says the Gemara, no, the chsiv bay, it also says in it, v'amalan drabana ashi, that Rav Ashi himself told us to write this document. And since he was there, we could definitely assume that he would not tell them to write a document if they were less than three judges. Now this that it picks Rav Ashi is only because that his court was at the time of Ravina, who, as we see, this incident was in the times of Ravina, and both of them had organized the Gemara of Talmud Bavli, as the Gemara says in Perkas Sechas Apoyim, Tavbeifav Medav, Ravash and Ravina were the end of the times of the Gemara, and this halacha was said in the times of his days, and that's how the Gemara was established. That's why it says the court of Ravash, but it means to say such a great court would definitely know this, and if Ravash himself, whoever the head of the court, says we should write it, we could obviously assume, even though it doesn't say we were three and the one's not here anymore, that there was three, and therefore that's why it's going to be kosher if it says that they were a court. However, if it doesn't say that they were a bezin, then we have to be concerned for a bezin toyin, and that really that they were two, and although they said they thought that two was going to be good, and therefore it's not going to be valid. Continuing on this theme of this halacha of admissions, so Tarnabon, when the Braisa, three halachas, that one of them relates to this that we're talking about regarding an admission, which, as we said in the previous stuff, might not be a full-fledged admission until someone says explicitly that, yeah, I want you two to be witness that I'm making an admission, or else we could say that maybe he said it for an ulterior motive. Tarnabon, learn the Braisa. Amalhan Echad, if someone tells people, I saw your father, that he concealed, he hid money in this carriage, in this box, in this tower. And he said it belongs to that person. Or Shel Meister Sheni, and he said it's that of Meister Sheni, which both of these things limit the utility of that money. So says the Brice as follows. If the money that was hidden was Bebayis in his house, well then Loy Maklum. Then this person is not believed, because as we'll see shortly, he doesn't have the ability to take that money. It's in the house. So his words don't have any validity. Besada, but if it was in the field, then Dvarv Kayamin. Then his words are valid, because what's known as a migo of Malu Lashaka, why should he lie? If he wanted to, he could have just taken it and given it to the person that he was testifying it belongs to. From the fact that he didn't, but he could have, so therefore he's believed what he's saying, and therefore it would belong to that person, or would be limited to being considered Meister Sheni. Which the Braisa says, Kalali Shadava, the rule of thumb is, Kal Shabayadi Litlam, wherever it is that the person who is saying this testimony could have taken it himself, well then Dvarv Kayamin, he has that migui, and therefore his words are valid. If he could not have taken it, meaning he was in the house, then he hasn't said anything, it's not valid. That's one example. Second halacha is, the sons themselves saw their father hiding the money in a carriage, in the box, or in a closet. But the father, when they saw him hiding, it says, it's not mine, it belongs to that person. Or, it's Meister Sheni, no one could eat it, you have to take up to Yerushalayim to eat it. So says the Braisa, if it seems to the children that it's kameiser, as if the father is giving over to his sons the truth and he's commanding them that this is the facts, then dvarv kayam, and then the words of the father are valid. But im kamarim, but if it looks like he's just tricking them, and that is he's afraid that they shouldn't take it when he's still alive, or that they're going to assume, oh, our father's so wealthy, look at all this money, and they're going to add on all his expense list. So then loy maklum, this again, although it's an admission, he hasn't said anything because we could assume that is, or suspect that it's an ulterior motive, and it's not definitely considered like an admission, and it wouldn't be considered that person's or Meister Sheni. Third halacha, Risha Yimitstar al Mo'ish Anichle Ov. Somebody that was in pain regarding money that his father left him over, but the father didn't tell him where it is. Ubo Balachalim, and the master of the dreams, which is a certain angel that shows the dreams to the person at nighttime, Ba'amalai, and told this person, Kach Bakachin, this is how much money your father left you over, and Bamokam Ploinian, they're in that place. But Shal Meister Shenihin, they're Meister Sheni. Says the Braisa Zehoy Meister, it was actually such an incident, Ba'amran, they said, Divre Chaloy Mislimalam, I'm reading the words of a dream, don't make a difference for higher or for lower. In other words, you could use it as you please. You don't have to believe the dream that says that it's Meister Sheni or belongs to someone else. The person who finds it from his father could use it for whatever he pleases. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah, which was speaking about the proceedings at a court case, which included the verification of the witnesses. So the Mishnah then went on to say, Shnayim or Mzakai b'chulu. If two judges say that he's not guilty and one judge says that he is guilty, so then we go after the majority. Now, the Gemara asks, "Uchul etc." The Mishnah speaks about what should be done. The Gemara says, "Mechtav hechi kasvi." So, how do we write down the psak din? The court has a verdict, and they write it down. When there's a disagreement in the court, and then we end up deciding based on the majority, as we said, if two say he's not guilty, one said he is guilty, so he's not guilty. But how do we write that down on the paper for the verdict? So there's three different opinions. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zaka, you just write that this guy is not guilty, and that's it. You write. Rish Lakish says, no, you write on the document, Pleini u Pleini Mezakin, that these and that judge held it was not guilty. And that judge holds that he is guilty. In other words, you delineate, you write, when the courts have their verdict, they write down the whole proceedings, and they write who said he's guilty and who's not. Rabbi Elazar Amar, he says, no, what you write is midivrayin nizdako plaini. From their words of the judges, that person has been proven not guilty, which sounds like that there was a disagreement, but from their words, meaning the majority ended up leaning towards the fact that he's not guilty. So the Gemara says, what's the difference between these three different opinions? Says the Gemara, Ikar b'nai, the difference between them is, if let's say the majority of the three-person court, the two people that the verdict ended up following, they actually made an error. So halacha is, in certain type of errors, the court actually has to compensate the person who was found guilty, who ended up losing the money, they have to compensate it. So the machlikis between these three different opinions would be regarding the third judge. If lishlume ihu mansa ba'adayu, does he have to share with them to compensate the defendant who ends up losing the money? As the Gemara explains, dilamando mazakai, according to the one who says that we just write that he's not guilty, and we don't write that there was differences of opinions of the judges. So this opinion holds that all the judges are equal, and we write it in one blanket statement. Ultimately, the verdict was that came out, whether you were from a minority or the majority, is that he's not guilty. So even the third judge has to be mishalim. He also has to pay with them, because had he not been part of this quorum, then the two judges would not have been able to decide the law based on their own. So even though he was outvoted, but ultimately he was on that court, and the court made a mistake, so he has to compensate with them. But according to the second opinion, it says, no, you're right. These judges held he's guilty. These judges held he's not guilty. Then Lo Misham, it doesn't pay. And that's why they write who said what. The ones who ended up deciding the verdict, they're the ones who have to pay for the mistake that they made. The other one who actually got the truth. So he doesn't have to pay. Now the Gemara asks, but still, how do we understand this? According to the first opinion, it says that all you write is that he's not guilty. You don't write who. So you said, Mishalim, according to that opinion, even the third judge has to pay with them. But why? Leimelahu, let him tell to the other two judges, Eli didid tzai sisur, and had you listened to me, atu nami lo shalimtin, you also would not have had to pay because you would have gotten the truth because I was the one that knew the truth. So why does he have to share with them the expenses? And that's why you're saying he writes Zakai, if he wasn't part of the problem. Now the rather says the Gemara, a different interpretation. The difference between these opinions are lishalume in who, if the other judges have to pay to the litigant mansa didei, the portion of the third judge, because if there's three judges, so let's say if the person lost $300, so each judge has a share of one third, each one has to pay 100. So the question is, so each judge pays 100, so that's the two judges that made the mistake. The one who didn't, he's not paying his portion, as we said, because he wasn't part of the problem. So the question is, what would that third 100? Do the other two judges have to pay that portion too? Lamanda, Mazakai, Mishalmi. According to one says, we just read a blanket statement. They have to pay for all three judges. Now, the third judge, it's not his fault, but they have to then pay his share to the litigant. According to the opinion that says you write who said guilty, who said not, then lemeshalmi. Then they don't have to pay because that's why they explicitly write who was on either side of this judgment, of this verdict, to notify that it was only concluded with two of the judges and that they only accept upon themselves the responsibility of themselves, but that third judge, who is not part of the decision, of the majority decision, his part does not have to be paid to the litigant. I think Gemara asks in this interpretation too. According to the one that you said, who says that you just wrote a blanket statement that he's not guilty, that then the other judges have to pay the third judge's portion of compensation for the litigant when they make a mistake. But why? The lame relay, let them tell the third judge, ilav at pahadon, had you not been with us, yeah, you were from the minority, you were disagreeing with us, but had you not joined our court, we would not have been able to conclude the court case. So why do they have to pay for his part if he himself is implicit in that guilty verdict, in that mistaken verdict, because he was part of the court case? So that's the question that's asked either way, meaning that his role, why should he have to pay, and the question then becomes, why should they have to pay his part? So El Rather says the Gemara, Iker Benad, the difference actually between them is something else. Mishum leiselech rochel ba'amecha, because of the negative prohibition of do not go and say rechilus to your people, which is usually translated as slander, and that is the machlokes in this case. Rabbi Yochanan Amazaki says, all you write is that not guilty. Why? Mishum leiselech rochel, because that you should not say gossip, Which is, why should that guy have to know who said he's guilty and who said not? So we don't say that because we don't want to say rechilas. Because as the Mishnah tells us, because if you just reveal a secret, it's already like rechilas. Rish Lakish, but he says, no, plainly mezakid and plainly machayev, when you say who said guilty and who not, mishum de mechzik eshikra. Because if you don't say who, and you just say, oh, not guilty, that looks like everyone agreed, which that's a lie. It's not true. There were those who were dissidents, and therefore you have to write who says what. But Rebbe Lazar, isli demar v'isli demar. He holds up both of them. He says, yeah, on the one hand it's rechilas, on the other hand it looks like a lie. So Hilchoch Kasvihochi, that's why he has this middle ground where he says, you write, midivrayim nizdaka pleni. From their words, the non-guilty verdict came out. So you're not lying, because you're showing that not everyone had agreed, but at the same time, you're not saying who, and therefore you're not violating rechilas, and that's why he says, you write those words. The Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah that said, Gomer Sadaver, when they finally concluded the proceedings and they finally decided what the verdict is going to be, they would then bring them back in and then they would announce the verdict. The Gemara asked, Laman, who are they calling back in? And if you think it's talking about the litigants that they're brought back in, but Hasam Kaim, they're standing right there. The Mishnah doesn't tell us at any point in time that you send them out after that they heard their claims and that they send them out that they should bring them back in. So rather says, the Gemara le'ed them. The witnesses, who, as we said in the Mishnah, they bring in each witness separately, after they testified separately, then they bring them back in to testify together, and then they announce the verdict. Says the Gemara commands, so then who's our Mishnah like? The Lake Reb Nosson. Our Mishnah has to be not like Reb Nosson. Because the Tanya Lurin, the Braise says as follows, two Machlekesin, the second Machlekes relates to this one of Reb Nosson. The first machlekes says the Braisa, the Tanakhama says, La'olam einei dusin mitztarefes. We cannot combine the testimony of witnesses at shiyirushneim ke'echad, unless they both see what they're testifying regarding, they saw it together at the same time, which later on the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning for this, but they have to have seen it together, he was standing here, and they saw it together, then they could testify. Shuman Karchai, he disagrees. He says, no, even one after the other. Meaning something was happening and one guy saw at 1 o'clock, the other one saw at 1:30 at different times, they could still go ahead and testify that they saw this thing happen regarding the testimony. That's one machlekes. The next machlekes, which is not Rabbi Shuba Karcha, not continuation of a statement, it's another Tanakama, says, the Einei Dusin Miskayem is Bebezin, and their testimony cannot be validated in the court of law, Ashi Yidushneim Ke'echad, until they both testify together at one point in time. So in other words, to Paskin, based on their testimony, it has to be that they both testified together. Whereas Reb Nosson, he disagrees. He says, no. Shemin Devar Shal Zehayim. You could hear this witness come on Sunday. When his friend comes, the other witness comes on Monday. You need to have two witnesses at least. When he comes a different day, then you accept what he has to say, but they don't have to come and testify at the same time. So the Gemara is saying that sounds like that our Mishnah is not like Reb Nosson. Our Mishnah said that then you, although we check out the witnesses separately and we verify what they're saying is true, but then we call the witnesses back in. Why? Because originally when we checked them, we heard each one's testimony separately, individually. So why are we calling them back in? To testify together. That sounds like the Tanakhama of Reb Nosson, that they have to be made together, which is not like Reb Nosson, who says, no, they could even testify separately. So if it's like Reb Nosson, why would we be calling them in after they already testified separately? Says the Gemara, no, it's not necessarily not like Reb Nosson. La'olam labalidin, and truthfully, is who we calling back in? Not the witnesses, they're done. We call back in the litigants. Because Reb Nechemi here, our Mishnah is going like Reb Nechemi, who, as we're going to see shortly, holds that at the time when the court is debating regarding what the verdict should be, that then they actually send out the litigants. The Tanakh learned the Braisa from Nechemi, I mean, he says, Kacha yimin hagen shal neki adas shem Yerushalayim, this was the custom of those of pure of thought in Yerushalayim, the machnisin labali dinin, b'shem and devrein, they would first bring in the litigants, hear their claims, hear what they have to say, counterclaims, u'machnisin esa edim, b'shem and devrein, then they would bring in the witnesses and hear what they have to say, u'meitzin ois lachos, they would send everybody out of the chambers. Then they would go and handle, they would go ahead and debate it amongst themselves. Then they would conclude their verdict. Then they would bring them back in, where we see that they send out even the Balei Dinin, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to. So it's not necessarily Nalik Reb Nosson. We don't bring back in the witnesses, rather we bring back in the Balei Dinin. That has to come up, but Vatanu in the Braisa clearly that says Gomer Sadava when they conclude their verdict. Machnis Nesa Eden, they bring the witnesses back in, obviously to testify together. Says the Gemara, yeah, Hahid like Reb Nosson. That Braisa is not like Reb Nosson, but our Mishnah could mean that they bring back in the Balei Dinin, which could be even like Reb Nosson. Now, once we introduced this braisa, which has two different machlekes, and because we wanted to show possibly that our Mishnah is not like Reb Nosson, so now the Gemara explains that braisa. Gufo, we had said, Tanakama said, La'olam ein edusim mitzdarefes, we do not combine what's being testified on by these two witnesses, at sheyirushneim kechad, unless they both saw the same thing together. Rabbi Shuman Karcha, I mean, he disagrees. This is not Philip Zachar, even one after the other, it wasn't simultaneous, it was consecutive, or at a later point in time, we could still combine what they're testifying regarding together as one pair of witnesses. So ask the Gemara B'maikim Miflagi. So regarding what point is this machlik, is Tanakami Rabbi Shuman Karcha? So the Gemara Ibai Se Makra, if you want, you could say that they're disagreeing regarding how to interpret a pasuk. Ibai Se Misra, or if you could say that they're disagreeing regarding logic. As the Gemara explains, Ibai Se Misra, if you want, you could say they're discussing their machlik is regarding logic, because as follows. Amana du komasid hai, le komasid hai. Regarding the 100 zuz that this guy's testifying, this guy's not testifying. Amana du komasid hai, le komasid hai. And the one that the second one's testifying, this one's not testifying. Because essentially what's happening is, this guy's saying that on Sunday, I saw this guy borrow $100 from this guy. Then the other witness didn't see at that time. He saw at a different time, on let's say Monday. He saw that I saw him borrow from him $100. So the $100 that he's testifying is not what he's testifying. And if you don't have one set of witnesses on one loan of $100, yeah, each one is saying that he borrowed $100, but they're on two different $100 of loans, and therefore that's not valid. That's what the Tanakhama holds. V'idach, but Rabbi Shuman Karcha holds, no, amona ba'alma tavari kamasadi. Ultimately, at the end of the day, both of them are testifying that this guy owes him $100. So although they're on two different acts of lending $100, but ultimately it's still they're both testifying to that same idea, and therefore that would be enough to obligate him in paying $100. That's if you say it's svara that they're disagreeing. V'ibay say makra, and if you want, you could say that their machlik is regarding if they have to see the same thing or they could see two different things one after another, is a machlekes in how to interpret a pasuk. Because the chassid, the pasuk says that meyikra, v'hu aid, and he's a witness, because oira, oyada, whether if he saw or if he knows. Now this pasuk is talking about a pair of witnesses, two witnesses, which the context of that pasuk is regarding being obligated in a carbon for taking an oath that they did not know testimony regarding somebody else. Because the pasuk says, the nefesh kisechet, if someone's going to sin because he knew testimony for someone and he swore he didn't know. So if he doesn't say, but the pasuk says, v'nas avani, he's going to carry his sin, he's going to have to actually bring a carbon for swearing falsely that he didn't know testimony when he really did. Now the way we know that it's talking about two witnesses is because actually if a singular witness swears that he doesn't know testimony, he's actually exempt. How do we know this? Because v'tanya, we learned in the braisa regarding a different pasuk, it says, mimash meshenema, from the fact that the pasuk is saying in Devarim, it says, lo yokum eid, that a witness, and it's saying in the singular, a witness should not stand up regarding a person, regarding any sin, to incriminate him. Rather, the pasuk says, apishnei eidim, or apishloish eidim yokum davar. If you want to incriminate somebody, you can't be a singular witness, you have to be two or three witnesses. So says the Braisa, from the fact that it already says lo yokum eid, that a singular witness cannot testify, so any idea shu echad, don't they know that means to say he's one? It's already saying, it doesn't say eidim, it says eid. So matam olam echad, why does the pasuk say eid echad? It's a redundancy. Says the Braisa, zebon av, so that's a building block to tell you that kamokum shnema eid, that actually to the contrary, whenever the Torah does tell you the singular word of eid, harei kan shnayim, it actually means a pair, one pair of witnesses, which are actually two witnesses. How do we know that? Because here, this pasuk, atshayif lucha kasev echad, until the Torah specifies one. It's actually not redundant. Eid means two. When it says eid echad, it's telling you that it was only one witness. And one witness, yeah, cannot incriminate a person. So we see that the terminology of eid means two witnesses. So the question then is, v'afkir achmana b'loshen chad. We have in this pasuk, it says, v'hu eid. In this pasuk regarding shvuas eidus, we know it's talking about two witnesses, because the word eid, we said, means two witnesses. But then why does it say v'hu eid? It should say v'heim eid, and they are, and they swore they don't know, and they have to bring a carbon shvua. Why does it say v'hu in the singular? If eid itself, although it's singular, really means two witnesses. L'meimer, to tell you, ad d'chazu tarvayu kachad. until, that's what the Talmid Chacham holds, that's coming to, until they both see together as one, as if they's one. So really, although it's talking about two people, it says vuhu aid in the singular to tell you that they have to see it together. And that's why Talmid Chacham holds that it's only valid if they saw it together. But v'idach b'shum ben karcha holds that, no, and it says in the pasuk vuhu aid, that he's a witness, ayra, ayada, whether he saw, whether he knows, which tells us mikam makam, whatever the circumstance is. He maybe saw, or he maybe knows, even though they didn't see it at the same time, the same thing, but if they both come out with the same concept, then it's going to be valid, even though it wasn't at the same time. That's the explanation of the first machlekes. Then the Brisa continued and said another machlekes, which was this one of Reb Nosson, why we introduced the Brisa in the first place. The Brisa says, Ve'ein edusin miskayemes bebezin, and neither can we accept their testimony in court, let's see, even if they saw it at the same time, until they both testify together. You can't have one coming on Sunday, one coming on Monday. Whereas Reb Nosson, he says, no, you listen to his testimony today. When his friend comes tomorrow, then you listen to his testimony. They don't have to testify at the same time. I asked the Gemara, but I can't forget. So what is Reb Nosson and Tana Kamen disagreeing about? So says the Gemara again here too. If you want, you could say it's based on logic. If you want, you could say it's based on how to interpret a pasuk. If you want to say, you could say it's logic, because Marsav, the Tana Kama held, Eid Echad. When you have one witness, when he's coming to testify, ki asi, when he's coming, l'shvu asi. He's coming only in regards to an obligation of an oath, l'mamayna lo asi. He's not coming for any monetary obligation. Because when one witness, let's say he's the only witness, when he comes, he cannot obligate somebody monetarily, only for an oath. As the Torah tells, you need two witnesses. One aid could be mechayev b'shvu. So therefore, when this guy testifies individually himself on Sunday, and this guy comes himself on Monday, so each one individually when he comes, since he's coming by himself, does not have any monetary aspect in halacha regarding his testimony. And since it's not mumminous type, it cannot combine with the other witness because he was never making any monetary obligation to then join him with the other witness. And therefore, it cannot work when they don't come together. V'idach, whereas Reb Nosson holds that no. What you think when they do come together, with one mouth they testify? You can't say it at the same moment. He says 1 minute and he says a minute later. Rather, we obviously combine it, even though it's not at the same time. So we combine it. So it's Sunday and Monday, or it's 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. What's the difference? He doesn't hold it's a problem if it's not said at the same time. That's if you say it's svara. If you want, you could say it's based on a machlokes how to interpret a pasuk in Vayikra, which we quoted before. It says, im lo yagid, if he knows testimony for the individual, and he swears falsely, and im lo yagid, if he doesn't say it, then he carries his sin. Now, as we continue to Amud Beis, the Gemara has explained that the kuli yama, that according to everybody, meaning from this machlokes, Tanakam and Reb Nosson, Karabanan de pliga led Rabbi Shub ben Karcha. They both hold, like the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Shub ben Karcha of the first machlokes. In other words, they hold that they say that you need to have that both witnesses saw the same thing that they're testifying at the same time. And they learned it from, as we said before, from Vuhu, which tells us that until they see it together, that's although it's really two witnesses, the word aid, it says Vuhu in the singular to say because they both saw it at the same time. Now, but Vahach over here, regarding their machlekes about their Haggadah, about when they're coming to actually testify it, the machlekes of the Tanoim of the Seifa, meaning of Reb Nosson Tanakama, is ba'akushe hagodah l'ri'i kumaflege. Their machlekes is regarding, do we make a hekesh comparing their statement to what they saw? Because the pasuk really puts it together. It says, ayra, or if they saw, im lo yagid, if they don't say, so it's in the same pasuk, which is talking about what they saw and what they say. So Marasav of the Tanakama held makshin and hagod l'ri'iyah. We compare their saying to their seeing. Just like we said, what they see, they have to see together. So to what they say, they have to say together. Marasav of the makshin and Reb Nosson held that we don't make such a hekish, and that's why he said that no, yeah, seeing has to be together. Saying doesn't have to be together, and that's the machlekes. Now, relating to this machlekes, the Gemara brings the following incident. Reb Shimon ben Elyakim have a mishtaket oled Reb Yisib Reb Chanina lemismachay. He was anticipating, he was diligent, and he was made many attempts to get Reb Yisib Reb Chanina to get smicha, to get rabbinic ordination. But he was never successful. Now, Yemachar have Yosef kamed Reb Yechon. One day they were sitting in front of Reb Yechon, and Amalhu, he said to the people around him, "Mi ikad yad is that anybody who knows halacha k'bishub and karcha? Does the halacha follow k'bishub and karcha that you could even see what you're testifying regarding at different times? Or is halacha not k'bishub and karcha?" So Amalei Reb Shimon el Yakum. So Reb Shimon el Yakum said to Reb Yechon, "Dein yad, this one knows," meaning referring to Reb Yisrael Chanina. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Leima Izu, let him say. So Amalei, so he finally, Rabbi Shimon Yochum finally had his opportunity. He said to Rabbi Yochanan, Lismeche Mar Bereisha, first give him ordination. So Samche, he gave him Smicha. So Amalei, so then Rabbi Yochanan said, Bini, Amalei Kitzat Shemata, my son, say how you heard. I'm very anxious to hear what's the halacha regarding Rabbi Shimon Karcha. So Amalei, so Rabbi Yisrael ben Chanina said to him, Kach Shemati, this is what I heard. Shemaydi Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha, Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Yishu ben Karcha agrees to Rabbi Nassan, and that is just like Rabbi Yeshua does not require that what they see should be at the same time. He agrees that when they're saying the testimony in court also doesn't have to be at the same time. So Amas Rabbi Yechon said, Lazeho Tzrachti, for this I needed? Hashto, he says, obviously. If now Uma Ikariya Bahadi Hadadi, if the primary what they're testifying regarding what they saw has to be at the same time, and still Amir Bishop and Karl Loibinan, he says you don't need that to be at the same time. So Haggadah, so what they're testifying, which we just said before, the only way you would say that the Haggadah has to be at the same time is if you compare it to the Re'iya. As we said, that Rabbi Nassan and Tanakhama, they're only in the pin that holds like Rabbanan, who you have to see at the same time. Question is, do you compare the Haggadah to the Re'iya? So if regarding the seeing, Rabbi Shimon Karcha holds it doesn't have to be at the same time. So regarding their testimony, Mibaya, would I even have a question? Of course, Rabbi Shimon Karcha holds like that opinion of Rabbi Nassan, that you don't have to say it at the same time. But in spite of that, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Hail v'alisa le'terid, once you were elevated, once you got smicha, we're not going to demote you, I'm not going to take away the smicha because of that. So Amrav Zeri says, Shemamino, what we can infer from that is, Gava Rabba, a great person, keeping the samach, once he gets smicha, even if we find that it was based on the faulty assumptions, it doesn't make a difference, we don't take away that smicha. Now, continuing on this machlaikis, Rabbi Shu ben Karcha and the Talakama, Amrav B'chia bar Oven Amar Rabbi, says, Halacha Rabbi Shu ben Karcha, that you don't have to have seen what you're testifying regarding at the same time. Bein b'karkais, whether if it applies to land, in other words, where this guy says that on Sunday, this guy admitted to me that this is that person's land. And Monday, this guy says that it was on Monday that he admitted to me that he owes him the piece of land, which it wasn't at the same time what they had witnessed or heard, but still that will combine. And bein b'metalin, and the same thing applies to movable items, meaning referring to a loan. If this guy says that in front of me, this guy borrowed $100, and this guy says that in front of me, he borrowed $100, although that the $100 that he's talking about, it's not the $100 that this guy's talking about, but since they're both testifying regarding that he owes him $100, he will owe him $100. Ulama, he disagrees. He says, no, halacha g'bishub and karcha b'karkoi. It's halacha falsa g'bishub by land, because by land, the land is here in front of us. Both witnesses are testifying that on this piece of land, that he admitted that he owes him this piece of land. So there, although they heard from him at different times, but we'll combine that, like Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha. Avolay b'metalim, it says Ula, but we do not hold that halacha by movable items, because that's not a complete peer of testimony, because as we said before, they're not testifying regarding the same $100. Even if we'll say that it works at different times, like the land, but it's still the same land. Here it's on different $100, so we don't have a full peer of witnesses on anything that they're trying to obligate him, and therefore there we don't combine them. However, Amalei Abaya has a question. He says that when you say halacha, when you're saying the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, where everyone's agreeing, at least the halacha is like him by land, mechlal de pligi, the words sound like that, but the Rabbanan, who we quoted before the Tandakama, that they disagree and say that you cannot combine if they didn't see or hear at the same time, that even by land, it sounds like you want to say that they would disagree with Shimon Karcha. It's just like you're saying halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Karcha anyway. But on that, as Abaya, but v'omra, ba'aba, omrav, huna, omrav, ma'idim chacham le'Rabbi Shimon Karcha, the chacham agreed to Rabbi Shimon Karcha be'edus karcha. When in regards to the testimony of land, even though they heard it from the person who made that mission at different times, but it's grown in the same land, the Rabban agree. So how are you saying halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Karcha as if, oh, it's like him and not like Rabban, but the Rabban agree in that case? So too, Vatani Rav Idibar Oven ben Nizak in the Bekarna. Rav Idibar Oven taught from the yeshiva of the brises that were put together in the Seder of Nizikin, which is from the yeshiva of Karna, that Meidim Chacham le Bishum Karcha, the Chacham agreed to Bishum Karcha, by a few different categories, one of them being this one of Eidus Karka. The first one is Be'edus Bachar, regarding the testimony of a firstborn animal, which the Mishnah teaches in Bachar Yisraf Lamahayim and Aleph, that any blemish that happens to the animal because a person made the blemish. So if the shepherd is a kohen, he's not believed to say that it happened by itself. Meaning if it happens by a person, then it is a penalty. If it happens by itself, okay, so then since today there's no Beis HaMikdash, we have to wait till it develops a blemish, then he could go ahead and use and eat the animal. But if the shepherd is a kohen, he's not believed to say that it happened by itself. And the reason for that is because kohanim suspect to place the blemish in the firstborn animal today because they want to be able to permit it for them to slaughter it. And because the kohanim get the firstborn animals. So they want it, so we would suspect them that maybe they made it deliberately. Now, if the kohen brings the firstborn animal to show it to a chacham, so the only way it's going to permit it, the chacham will say it's a blemish, but how do I know you didn't do it, kohen? We suspect you. He has to bring two witnesses with him to prove that it happened by itself. Now, that is what is pertinent in the halacha of Bishum HaKarcha, which they're saying that the chacham agreed to Bishum HaKarcha. If let's say he brings one witness regarding one blemish, and then there's another blemish on the animal that a different witness verifies, and they both say it happened by itself, then we're going to combine their testimonies, although it's like what we call zeh-chazeh. They're testifying regarding two different things, but since it's the same animal that has the blemish and they're saying that it happened by itself, then they would combine and the chacham agree over there. Now Rashi says that some want to say that the testimony for the firstborn animal means that to testify that a chacham had permitted it, to say that he said that it's definitely a blemish which permits it to be used now, and says Rashi that's not a valid interpretation because there one person is believed, and as we know the halacha is eidech and bisur. You don't need two witnesses in that case to combine them because even one witness is believed by prohibitory law. Even the kohen who is the owner is believed, as the Mishnah there teaches on the Avlam Mevav Menalev that the kohen is believed to say that I showed this firstborn animal to a chacham and he said that it's a blemished animal, and the reason why he's believed is because something which will ultimately be revealed where they could ask the chacham, he wouldn't lie. So rather what we're talking about here is to testify regarding did this blemish happen by itself, that we need to have a pair of witnesses, but it could be on two different things and the chacham agree that we combine it. Ube edus karka, and this is the point that Abai is asking on Ula, that the chacham agree by the edus of karka, since it's this piece of land, although they heard it at different times of the admissions, but that will combine, the chacham agree over this. You don't have to say halacha like a b'shum karka. So to ube edus chazaka, by the testimony regarding someone getting a chazaka on a piece of land, which requires 3 years of consumption, showing that he must be the owner of this land, if one witness says that in front of me he ate the first 3 years of the Shemitah cycle, and the other witness says that in front of me he ate the last 3 years of the Shemitah cycle, they combine, again for the same reason, is because it's on one piece of land, on the same piece of land, that they're both testifying that he was here for 3 years, although it's on three different years, but it's still on two different sets of three, they're still going to combine. So even though it's Zachazeh, Chacham agree over there. V'chein sotu regarding two pubic hairs that are Shebeben v'Shebebeas by a boy or a girl, which will thus testify that they're adults, as we'll shortly explain what that case is talking about, that then the Chacham agree that the two different elements that are really two different things, we would combine. Even though they disagreed, as we quoted in the Braisa before, that they say it has to be the same thing that they saw or heard. These cases, since it's on the same item, although it's two different times or different things, they combine. Because when do they disagree with Rabbi Shimon Karcha? That's only when that on Sunday, this guy said, I saw him borrow $100. And on Monday, he says, I saw him borrow $100. Well, that's not on the same mana. It's not on the same money. That's where they disagree on Yibshu Makarcha. So what are you saying? Halachas Yibshu Makarcha by Karka. The Chum agree by Karka. So answers Ula, answers the Gemara. Gavra, Gavra Karamis. What, you're asking from Reb Abba and Reb Idi on Ula? What's the question? Mar Sarva Pligi. Ula holds that the Chum do disagree even by Karka. And they hold that even though it's the same piece of land, but since it's then didn't see it at the same time, then they can't combine. And that's what he's coming to say. Even though Chum disagree, halachas like b'shum karcha, umar sabalei pligi. But Rav Idi and Rav Abba, they hold that there's no disagreement, but that's not a difficulty on Ula when other Amiram have a different opinion than him. Now, the Gemara clarifies regarding that was quoted from the Brisa of Karna, what is it that it was said that even the Chacham agreed to Bishum HaKarcha, although that each witness is testifying regarding something else, but it's both regarding testifying that this boy or girl is an adult, and therefore they will combine even though it's on two different things. What's that case? If you're going to say, because how do you verify someone's an adult? If they have two pubic hairs in the pubic region. So if it's saying that because one witness says that I saw one here in her back, And ve'echad oimet echas bekreis. Another one says, I saw one on her belly, which are both by the pubic region, just one's in the front, one's in the back. And okay, so with the two of them, there's two here, and then you say chum agree that it could combine. And that has to come up, but that's haichatzi davar b'chatzi edisu. That's not just going to be half a testimony where you're combining the testimonies. That's actually a half of a davar, which is a pishnai made them yakum davar. The idea is, in this case, one witness is saying only half of a testimony, and one here is half of the adulthood. So forget about, even if you have two witnesses on the one here, that's not going to make him an adult. You don't have one witness even on the adulthood. You have each one saying one here is nothing, two here is something, but neither one are saying that the child is an adult. So rather, says the Gemara, le'echad oy mishtayim begeba. The case that we're discussing is where one witness says, I saw two hairs in her back. Ve'echad oy mishtayim bekrei. So the other one says, I saw two hairs in the front. Where both of them are testifying regarding two different hairs that she's an adult, but ultimately, since they're both saying that they're an adult, the two witnesses will combine, but they have to be saying both that the person's an adult. That has to be, each one saw two different sets of two hairs. That's the case that we're talking about, that in according to Karna, that the two witnesses would combine, even according to the Chacham, again, because it's regarding the same individual, the same idea that they're an adult, albeit two different sets of two hairs. Continuing on this discussion, Amar Rabbi Yosef says, "Ano amina mishmei de'ula," which is different than the version of Ula we said before. He says, "I say over in the name of Ula that halacha k'rib shuban karcha, halacha v'asik k'rib shuban karcha, bein mikarkais, bein mimetatlin." That in this version, Ula holds that it's like him both by karka and even by a movable item like a loan of money. But the rabbanan the asim mechuzah amri, but the rabbanan who came from mechuzah, they said that amr b'zeir mishmei derav bekarkois in, no, only by land halacha is like a b'shuban karcha, because again there you don't need to see that, you don't need to say that both of them saw it at the same time the piece of land, because anyways when they're testifying in the court they're both testifying regarding the same thing, the same piece of land, and that's considered v'hu eid. Even though at the time that they saw it, they didn't see one and the other, it doesn't make a difference. That's still going to be considered v'hu eid because it's on the same piece of land. Avoloi b'metatlin, but not by a movable item, because when they're testifying in front of us, they're not testifying regarding the same mana. Says the Gemara, Rav, who we just quoted as saying, from those who came from Mechuzah, that the halacha is not like a b'shuba karcha by metatlin, because as we said, and that's going to be the important point, because they're not testifying on the same thing, is l'tameh, goes according to his opinion elsewhere that says the same idea. Because the Amar Rav said, hayda achar hayda. When you have an admission after an admission, in other words, you have two witnesses. One says, in front of me this person admitted that he owes this person a mana, and he told it to me on Sunday. A different person then comes, the second witness says, in front of me he admitted that he owes this person a mana on Monday. Or let's say, hayda achar halva. Where the first thing was that this guy said that in front of me, I saw this guy borrow from that person 100 zuz on Sunday. And the second witness comes and says that in front of me, this person admitted that he owed this person 100 zuz on Monday. Says Rav, those two cases, mitztarfi. We would combine those two witnesses. Because you could say that they're both testifying regarding the same mana, as we're going to explain later. Which, that's what explaining Rav, the reason why he holds Leibim Metatlin, is because we could suspect that they're testifying regarding two different things, and therefore then we can't combine them. But if we know that it's, if we, and we'll explain later how we know for sure, but if we could assume and know that they're testifying regarding the same thing, which is possible, he admitted to me on Sunday, he admitted to me on Monday, it could mean the same $100, or he loaned in front of me on Sunday, then when he admits to the other guy on Monday, it could mean that same loan, then we do combine them like Rebbe Shubin Karcha. But let's say, halva ach halva, let's say, this guy says, I saw him borrow from him $100 on Sunday. Then a different guy comes and says, I saw him borrow $100 from him on Monday. Those are two different loans. Or halva achar hayda, or let's say, this guy says on Sunday he admitted to me he owes him $100. Then this other one comes and says that on Monday, the next day, I saw him borrow from him $100. Well, that's obviously a different $100, because if he admitted he owes him on Sunday, when he saw the loan on Monday, that's obviously a different $100. So there says Rav, loy mitztarfi. There they're not going to combine, because even though they're both saying that he owes him a mana, ultimately, as we said before, it's on two different manas, and there the halacha is not going to be like a b'shuban karcha, and they're not going to be able to combine. Now, the Gemara asks, Ashkechei Rav Nachem bar Rav Yitzchak Rav Hu in the Bered of Yeshua. Rav Nachum Yitzchak encountered Rav Huda Medibishu, and he asked him, Amalei, he said to him, what's the difference? Why did Rav say that if this guy says he borrowed in front of me $100 on Sunday, and this guy says in front of me he borrowed $100 from him on Monday, that you say that, no, they do not combine, because the money, the kachazi high, likachazi high, because the $100 that he saw he owes him, is not the $100 that he owes him. So we don't have on any one specific loan two witnesses. So then, haidachar danami. Then even the case of when he said he admitted to me he owes him $100 on Sunday, and then the other guy says that he admitted to me on Monday that he owes him $100. Maybe amana de kamayde kamehai like mayde kamehai. Maybe the $100 that he admitted to this guy on Sunday is not the $100 he admitted to this guy on Monday, and therefore how can we combine them? Maybe it's going on different months, and therefore they can't combine. Just like we said regarding halva. So that answers Rav Huda Medibishua. Oh, the Amalei is talking about where he said to him, Lahai Baster, to the second guy, on the Monday guy, Bahai Mana, the Oidi Le Kamach, this 100 zuz that I'm admitting to that I owe that guy today on Monday, Oidi Le Namikame Plainly, I had already admitted to that other guy on Sunday. So he knows that it's the same Mana. So the Gemara says, but Akati Baster Yada, but still, the second guy knows that the mana that he admitted to him, he admitted to the other guy. But Kamali Yada, the guy who admitted to the mana on Sunday, he doesn't know. So if he doesn't know, how could you call it Vahu Aid, which we said that's the way we know that it has to be that they both saw the same thing at the same time, that meaning that referring to the same thing, which sounds like that they both have to be like one. The second guy knows that the first guy, and he knows he's one with him, but the first guy's not one with the second guy because he doesn't know that he knows the same thing. So the Gemara, no, the Hadar Azal Amalei Lekama. Not only does he tell the second guy when he's admitting to him that he's saying, what I'm admitting to is what I admitted to him, he afterwards then goes to the first guy and tells him, Haimona Doidu Lekamach, what I admitted to you yesterday, I now admit it to the second guy today on Monday. So now Vahu'ed, now they both know what they know about the admission is the same thing, and that's going to be considered Vahu'ed in the singular, that they both saw the same thing or heard the same thing, and that's why they could both combine to testify that he owes him $100. So Amalei, so Rav Nachum Yitzchak said to Rav Huda Medibishua, Tenuach Daitcha, let your consciousness be at ease, Shehisnachto es daiti, because you put my mind at ease. This question really bothered me in the halacha of Rav, and now I'm at ease. So Amalei, so Rav Huda Medibishua said to him, my nechusa, why are you at ease? Because the Rava, v'itim et some say it was Rav Sheshes, shadabin arga, cut it down with an axe, because asks Rava or Rav Sheshes, lav hainu, isn't this then what we just explained? The same thing as the second case, Rav says, of hayda achar halva, of an admission after a loan. In other words, since, as we just explained, that we need that each witness knows that the other witness knows the same thing, so then obviously you're going to have to give the same interpretation for when you had the guy saw the loan on Sunday and a different guy had the admission on Monday, you're going to have to give the same interpretation. You're going to have to say where he says to the second guy on Monday that this mana that I'm admitting to you, that this is the same money that I borrowed from in front of that guy on Sunday. And then he has to go back to the first guy and tell him that what I had borrowed in front of you, I admitted to the second guy. So then why do we need two cases of Rav to say the same idea, the same thing? If it's two different cases, understandable. But the way we just described it, he has to anyways tell each one what he told him is the same thing that was in front of the other one. So it's the same idea. So why say another case? It's still difficult. It's halach of Rav. So Malay. So he said back to Rav Nachum Yitzchak, said to Rav Huda Medibishua, Haina de Shmi Li Alaycha, this is what I heard about the people from your city. And that is that you're different in that Dremisu Dikli, you cut down the tree, and then you put it back up, you go ahead and then you replant it again. In other words, you build and you destroy. You answer my question, but then you go ahead and destroy that, and then you make it difficult again. So that was the discussion regarding the opinion of Rav, which was difficult about, even though we're resolving, about what's the necessity of these two different cases. Now the Gemara concludes, Nardo Yamri, but the Nardians, they say, Bein Haida Achar Da, regarding these cases that Rav had differentiated, they say that whether if it's one admission after another admission, meaning that one guy heard he admitted on Sunday to him, and the other one heard they admitted to him on Monday, two different individual witnesses, or Bein Haida Achar Va, whether there was a loan on front of the guy on Sunday, and then he admitted to this guy on Monday, or Bein Halva Achar Va, or even if there was a loan of 100 on Sunday, and then another loan of 100 on Monday, or Bein Halvach or Harda, or whether the case of when there was a admission on Sunday and then he admitted and then was alone on Monday. On all those four cases of Rav, the Nardai say Mitztarfis, that they do combine, because ultimately, that as we said before, that there is a testimony that this guy owes him $100, although it's on two different loans of $100, but they're both two witnesses are saying that he owes him $100. Says the Gemara, come on, who's that like? That's like Rabbi Shimon Karach, like we said, that his opinion is the one that says that you don't have to see the same thing, hear the same thing, which we're saying that Allah is like him in all those cases, even if it's totally two different things, which there was this discussion, do the Rabban disagree regarding the case of Karka, because there it is the same thing, but Rabbi Shimon Karach says it in all cases, there, and that's what Adari said, Allah is like Rabbi Shimon Karach, no matter, even if it was a different thing, but ultimately they're saying the same idea, that he owes $100, then they would be combined to obligate this person to pay up $100.